Saving money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money
at Menards. And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Good. Liking the Vols look today, man. Coordination, hat and shirt.
Yeah, man. Somebody got me this shirt for my birthday, so okay. I enjoyed it.
Birthday suit, but not, you know, birthday Vols
suit. Not
that
kind.
Yeah, exactly. Not like that dude, that South Carolina fan. Did you see that thing?
I did see that.
What was going on there?
Tough night at Neyland for him. I don't know how he got to the state where there's the underwear hanging out there, but apparently a bad night. I guess he was. Was he trying to start a fight?
I don't know, but officers appear to be like searching him or something.
That photo's been making its rounds so far this week.
4 years ago, a buddy of mine came to town, and he really wanted to go to a Vols game. I covered Vols South Carolina. He took my sons. They sat in the upper deck, and they're all like, I've never seen more incredibly drunk people in my life. Most of them were wearing South Carolina shirts. I'm like, okay, I didn't know.
Big partiers in Columbia, South Carolina, apparently.
I guess when they come to Knoxville, they let it rip. Yeah. I don't know.
Jeez, well, all I know is this dude ended up with his pants down, his underwear hanging out. Yeah. Not a great look on Saturday night at Neyland.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it on the internet. I'm sure Kaharski's already captured it.
I'm sure that he has. We'll look forward to discussing it with him tomorrow.
Nick liked that one, huh?
He did. Little Monday Night Football action last night. The New York Giants looking like they've made a great investment in Daniel Jones so far this year. They get destroyed 24-3 last night. Giants are 1-3. Saquon's been out since week one, basically. We'll see at some point. I guess he's coming back some point soon, which is hilarious because I remember as soon as he got hurt, there was some comments from like Brian Daboll the next week that were like, well, hold on. He heals pretty quick. He's a high ankle sprain, but he might be available here in week two. And I was like, yeah, okay. Well, yeah. If he's available in week two, it's not a high ankle sprain. And obviously that offense misses him, but Daniel Jones, not very good so far this year.
Yeah, mostly watched the Manning cast last night. Basically, as soon as I heard they had Will Ferrell, I had to pop over there, but then I just stayed with it. So obviously you get a lot of, you know, mostly talking about quarterback play, and man, you know how Peyton Manning gets all flustered with bad quarterback play. Boy, was he flustered.
He was flustered.
Just some bad, bad decisions. Is Zach Wilson better than Daniel Jones? Is Zach Wilson the better quarterback of a New York team?
I don't
right now?
Know. Probably not, but it's closer than it should be.
This last game was very different.
The
both.
One thing I will say, I don't know that I've ever seen this stat line in an NFL game before. Seattle had 11 sacks last night.
Yeah.
11. in the National Football League. 11 sacks.
Yeah, it's a huge number. Now, Daniel Jones runs himself he into does. More sacks than I swear any quarterback. It's like, the pocket's clean.
He does.
Why are you rolling into the defender on the edge? Right? Like, stop and pass. But, yeah, still, 11.
That's a lot of sacks.
Big number.
One game. It's just ridiculous. Giants are 1-3. I mean, that division, you got the Eagles who are still undefeated. Cowboys are really good. The Commanders are better than everybody thought they would be so far this year. Giants might be the worst team in that division. We'll see what happens when Saquon comes back, but it's not off to a great start in Brian Daboll's second year here.
Yeah, the narrative of Daboll genius, Josh Allen can't function without him is starting to
fade.
A few holes getting poked in that one.
Seattle, meanwhile, 3-1, so got that division out west.
I like Seattle.
Seattle's good.
Good receivers. Kenneth Walker is a stud.
How about Witherspoon?
My gosh, what a player. He is a player. They got guys on defense. I mean, Jamal Adams out here trying to fight people who are just like tested for concussions. But that's a physical. Bobby Wagner, what the heck did that do? That dude had like a million tackles.
17
a few
tackles
sacks.
Last night. Yep.
I mean,
he's 33.
That's they went into Detroit and punched that paper line in the mouth. I mean, that's a pretty good team. That's a I'm here for Niners, Seahawks, and other good teams. Seahawks.
Yeah, no, like it's going to be fun to watch, see what they do all year. Geno Smith, you know, he wasn't great last night. No, he was banged up for a little bit. Drew Lock got in there, but Geno Smith, 13-20, 110 yards, a touchdown, and Seattle looking good. New York Giants looking bad, and we're going to get to our best teams in the NFL, who's impressed us the most a little bit later in the show, but Seattle, off to an impressive start so far this year.
Real quick, I wanted to ask you, did you think that – I mean, obviously Geno felt that. I was a little iffy on that hit on the sideline that messed up his ankle.
Yeah,
that was weird.
I was too.
I don't know what the heck he was trying to do. Like, he was trying to suplex him or something.
I don't know what was going on
there. He was mad after that.
He was
talking trash, and I don't
– I don't blame him.
It's always – I typically just don't believe that anybody's out there really trying to hurt someone, but that was not a good look.
No question about it. So the Titans taking on the Colts this week, and the Colts potentially could have their starting running back available to them this week. We'll see. Jonathan Taylor was eligible to return from PUP this week, and he's going to resume practicing on Wednesday. He could play as soon as Sunday. Stephen Holder put this out there from ESPN yesterday. We'll see whether or not he's activated for the Titans game, but obviously, he has not been available for the Colts at this point. There's the drama off the field between he and the Colts and Jim Irsay and all these things. And is Jonathan Taylor going to be traded? Is the trade request still there? Do the Colts have any interest in trading him before the deadline? All those things. And now he's eligible to return off PUP. I'm interested to see if he plays. They've got up to 21 days before he's required to be activated. So they don't necessarily have to activate him this week against the Titans, but if he's healthy, considering that they're 2-2 and it's a divisional game, I mean, to me, it would make some sense to activate him if you're the Colts.
Yeah, if he's going to play, if he wants to play. I mean, I don't know, man. It has seemed like this was going to just be the next stage of this standoff. But I don't know. I mean, sometimes even when you have beef with an owner, you know, like is there a relationship at all with him and this new coach? You know, how much does it matter to him what his teammates are playing well, that he can make a difference for his team? Bygones be bygones, and you know, just see what happens in the future. I don't know. I mean, what would be the smart move for Jonathan Taylor here?
Well, remember, he's got to play, right? Like at some point, because it's not going to count towards a year of accrued to, you know, free agency at that point. So,
yeah,
like at some point, there's some pressure on him to play and to make sure that he gets out there. Shane Steichen said yesterday, quote, "He's super excited to be back with his teammates, and I look forward to having him." Was also asked if he could play Sunday, and the quote from Steichen was, quote, "Could be yes." So, I mean, that sounds to me like there's at least some serious thought given to him being out there and available on Sunday.
Now, of course, you got the ankle thing, whatever the heck is going on there, you know. So what, his last practice was December 17th. That's when he hurt the ankle, went on IR, and then there's all this back and forth about the ankle all off season. You know, I mean, it's really interesting. Is it possible that he comes out and all of a sudden he's a secret weapon this weekend and just, you know, runs all over? The thing is, the Titans have done pretty well against Jonathan Taylor. You know, that's not like that. The way they're built, that's the lesser concern than giving up big plays, you know, and letting Anthony Richardson break the pocket, and regardless of who's at running back. But still, I mean, he's a very good player.
He's a very good player. I am interested to see if the situation that has gone on between those two sides, the Taylor side of things and the Colts side of things, is that a tenable situation at this point? Like, is there a way back to them trying to negotiate a contract as they move forward? Do the Colts have any interest in the contract for Jonathan Taylor? And if not, you know, the deadline, the trading deadline coming up later this year, is there a team out there that's willing to give up enough that the Colts would part ways with Jonathan Taylor? Because apparently there was interest out there in Jonathan Taylor, and the Colts and the Packers were talking about Taylor and his services, and apparently the Colts wanted Christian Watson, among other things, and the Packers shut that down pretty quick. So
I don't understand why the Packers would even be one of those teams.
A.J. Dillon sucks. That's why.
Does he?
Yes, he's terrible.
That happened quickly.
A.J. Dillon sucks, and Aaron Jones can't stay healthy. So that would be why.
Okay. I'm trying to think of who else would be. Yeah, because you're not gonna get a ton, but maybe there's a team out there. Jonathan Taylor is a little bit more like a Henry Chubb, you know, like more traditional back. But catch the ball in the backfield and stuff like that. Obviously, does this whole thing hurt him? I don't think so. Irsay's such a goofball with the way Taylor's agent has been terrible in this.
Yes.
But I blame the agent more than I do Taylor. Because, you hire an agent and then you let the agent lead the way on some of this, and his agent's stupid.
It's been quite the battle between the agent and the airing of grievances on Twitter, and then Jim Irsay just being Jim Irsay. It's the cast of characters.
Yeah.
And this has been pretty fun to watch.
It's a heck of a combination between those two. So, but again, I don't know. Jonathan Taylor, if he likes Steichen and he likes Richardson, and it's like, hey, man, you know what? Go do what you do well, and maybe you help yourself in the process. That could make things even more interesting
could
with the
make
Colts
things
in this
interesting.
Division.
Big game coming up on Sunday. Titans on the road at the Colts. Every team in the AFC South through four games is 2-2. So the division off to a little bit better of a start than I guess people thought it could be heading into the season. I'm looking at the line for Sunday's game. Colts are a 1.5-point favorite at home. What do you think of that?
Okay.
1.5-point favorite.
That's interesting. Well, they're home.
They are.
And they've played well in some games. I guess that's if you look at that as like the three-point swing, I guess the Titans are a 1.5-point favorite at neutral site. Is that how you could look at it that way? Someone told me, was it Kaharska last week? He thinks it's more two. It's more of a 2-point bump at home. But whatever. I figured it'd be around a pick 'em. It'd be interesting to see if it moves at all this week. And I just don't know what to expect. I don't know what to expect from either of those teams. I think the Jaguars have it figured out now that they look good against Atlanta, but we'll see. This whole division is just...
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot more, I think, fun than I thought it would be, actually.
Are we buying into the Colts and the Texans? Are you buying into the Colts and Texans and the starts to the seasons that they've had? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. So we mentioned it, all four teams in the AFC South at 2-2. Are we buying into the Texans and the Colts and what we've seen to this point? Now, the Colts were down 23-0 on Sunday. They battled back in that game, forced overtime. So it's a great comeback by the Colts. They fall short in come up short in overtime. The Rams win it. So they're the one team in the AFC South on Sunday that lost. So you're coming off a loss if you're the Colts. You're back at home against the Titans. We'll see if they can get it figured out and if they get off to a better start, because their start doomed them in that game. Texans destroyed Pittsburgh the other day. C.J. Stroud looked great in that game. And for the most part, he's looked pretty good all year long to this point. The numbers would say he's looked very good.
He's averaging, 300 a game. All the numbers are good. And the stuff I've seen, again, without watching full games because they're always playing the same time as the Titans, but looks pretty good.
Looks pretty good. So are we buying into the Texans and the Colts? Mo on the text line says, I'm buying more into the Colts because Richardson might have figured it out after what he did against the Rams. Jacksonville overrated, and the Texans' Stroud is inconsistent, in my opinion. This is from Mo on the text line.
Well, I'm sure he's not going to be. He's a rookie starting right out. So, I'm sure he's going to have his moments. He's going to have a bad pick that loses a game or whatever. But for the most part, I got to say, he looks pretty good out there. And Richardson, Richardson is probably, Stroud, I think everybody would have agreed with us that Stroud is more ready to come right in and play than Richardson, right?
Yep.
Now, I think also people would look at them and say this higher ceiling is for Richardson. I think Richardson's ceiling is extremely high. So, I guess it's not surprising because Richardson seems like, you know, you're going to have your three and outs and mistakes, and then you're going to have these big plays. And he had some big ones in the comeback. But also, they were down 23-0 because they could do nothing against, you know, a decent Rams defense. I mean, they still have Aaron Donald, but that's a pretty meh Rams team.
It's diminished.
Yeah, and so they were doing nothing. And then, look, credit to him and them that they made some loud plays. I actually think there's more potential for inconsistency with the Colts than the Texans based on, you know, just because I think Stroud, there's a certain level of, like, you know, I mean, say what you want about Ryan Day at Ohio State. And by the way, it'll be nice to, like, not hear about Ohio State quarterbacks anymore, hopefully, if he's good. But that system and coach and everything, I think it's a very, like, NFL-friendly, here you go, now you're ready to go. And I understand that Justin Fields hasn't gone well for him, but I think there's a lot to that. So
it's Ohio against the world.
Exactly. So I just.
Where's Lou Holtz?
Oh, God.
Somebody find him.
I wish we could play the whole Lou Holtz thing from the Pat McAfee show. We'd have to bleep half of it, but freaking brilliant,
beautiful.
Man. So I'm buying both of them as, first of all, better than I thought they would be. I think they both right now, after four games, are better than I thought they would be. I'm more surprised by the Texans because I thought maybe they'd just be real bad this year. But, you know, D'Amico Ryans, I like that hire. They do have some young talent. They've drafted high. They have some guys on defense. I mean, right now, I might pick them to finish ahead of the Colts.
Well, the texter brings up Stroud, and he thinks he's inconsistent. Let's look at his stat line the last 3 weeks. Against Indy, 30 of 47, 384 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Week 3 against Jacksonville, 20 of 30, 280 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Last week, 16 of 30, 306 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. He's had quarterback ratings of 103.5, 118.7, and 111.2 in the last 3 weeks. Pretty darn good.
Yeah.
That's not inconsistent. That's pretty darn good.
No. The worst thing about this, the best thing about this, I feel like I'm thinking about a lot of narratives so far today, but, you know, the best thing if he's good is the Ohio State thing. The worst thing, though, as I've already seen, like, that's, you guys better never say anything about the S2 test again. It's like, okay, no one, no, anybody who claims the S2 test is the be-all, end-all of everything, that was never the case. It's a tool. And again, the Stroud story is very weird with that whole thing. Stroud had a bad score, then he had a fine score. But no one ever wants to remember that. They just want to remember the bad score, which apparently had to do with him not even want to take it and blah, 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 whatever.
How much, like, if you're a Titans fan, beyond the obvious of him playing for Houston, though, how much are Titans fans keeping up with C.J. Stroud? Because, I mean, we kind of know. I mean, nobody from the Titans has come out and said it. But we know, based on the actions and the reporting around that night on draft night, the Titans wanted C.J. Stroud. So how much, if you're a Titans fan, are you following C.J. Stroud, what he does from that standpoint, beyond the fact that he's just in your division against Houston and you got to play him twice a year?
Yeah. Well, and look, this is another thing. If the Titans are good this year with their guys and they end up making it a fun year, then I think it douses us a bit. But if not, then also you're not even – like, you're in the same boat as, like, a team like that. Plus, they've got their guy going, and he looks good. And the Colts have their guy going, and he looks good. And your guy right now is QB3.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think in the next few years, it's absolutely going to be – it could be Stroud envy. Could be – you know, Richardson also was, like, in the mix there potentially if the Titans were going to move up, you know. Could be – I know Vrabel talked yesterday about their visit with Richardson. I mean, I think they were seriously looking at him too. And then, you know, we'll see when Levis gets out there. It's going to be that comparison, of course. And early returns are – that's the thing. Early returns are very good on Stroud. Again, I still think Richardson could end up being better. We'll see.
It's a really interesting stretch for the Texans here. They're about to go on, like, their NFC South tour. So they have the Falcons coming up on Sunday, the Saints, the Panthers, and the Bucs all right in a row. So they're just straight through the NFC South the next 4 weeks. I still, you know, the Bucs are what are they, 3-1 right now? I don't know how good they are. Like, Baker Mayfield's their quarterback. He's been fine to this point. Their defense has been pretty good. The Saints, you know, Derek Carr's banged up. He tried to play on Sunday, and that was probably a mistake. They didn't look very good. You know, the Falcons got off to the 2-0 start. They've been bad ever since, and the Panthers are not good. Like, these are winnable games for the Texans coming up throughout the next 4 weeks here. They're not going to win all of them. But, you know, they could. I wouldn't be surprised if they grabbed a couple of them at least in this four-game stretch.
Yeah, they could be really interesting. Dan Orlovsky tweeted, C.J. Stroud tape from that Steelers game was about as good as any QB has been this season. That's quite a statement. But I've seen, you know, like a cut-up of like six or seven of the throws, and it's like, geez, man. I mean, he looks good. So, yeah, here's what I'm talking about. Kevin Clark, who's really good for the Ringer. There was an entire draft news cycle quoting anonymous executives saying you can't take C.J. Stroud because he did poorly on the pre-draft equivalent of a BuzzFeed quiz. Why we tolerate so much junk science every spring is beyond me. Remember this.
BuzzFeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's just bad. That's just bad commentary by Kevin Clark. Again, it's that stuff is valuable. It's one piece of so many pieces of information, you know? I mean, it's certainly better than the stupid Wonderlic. That's the BuzzFeed quiz.
Yes.
Do a crossword puzzle. You know, if someone gave you 9 cents and you went on a train to Bolivia going 93 miles an hour, what color is your hair?
I remember the big deal around here that everybody made it when the Titans drafted Vince Young, and apparently his Wonderlic score was just absolutely atrocious.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, he got a bad Wonderlic score. And it's like, okay, yeah, whatever.
I think Terry Bradshaw got a 1 on it, and he won 4 Super Bowls, so sure.
Vince won Rookie of the Year, man.
That's right. He was good early.
Rookie of the Year, took the Titans to the playoffs in the second year.
Vince Young at this point in his career compared to C.J. Stroud at this point in his career, where was more excitement?
I mean, probably with Vince.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Vince, I mean, that's the thing.
He just played the greatest football game of all time.
Exactly. I mean, anybody who watched him in college, like, I want him so badly to be a great NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
It was good for a minute.
It was. First year, rookie of the year, second year, to the playoffs. And then that was about it for old Vince.
Shoulder pads, launched into the stands.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Did Mike Vrabel let his plans on the offensive line slip yesterday? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Can Nicholas be equipped to be plugged in a week now? And what's your philosophy on an incumbent coming back when his replacement's done well?
Yeah, I think that's Nick's been away for a little bit. He was with us in training camp. You know, we'll see where things, go. Like the way that Chris is playing over there. We'll just see how he looks this week.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday discussing the state of the offensive line. Nicholas Petitfrere is back. He is eligible to play on Sunday for the Titans against the Colts. Chris Hubbard has played at right tackle. Played reasonably well over at right tackle. What do you think, Joe? Was that answer from Vrabel an indication that they're sticking with Hubbard, do you think?
That's what I think.
That's kind of what I think, too.
Maybe I'm overanalyzing, but I think the way he answered it, like the way Hubbard's playing over there, answered it. And maybe also I have the expectation anyway that, like, it doesn't make sense to me to immediately have NPF in there starting based on how he looked in the preseason. Based on how Hubbard looks now and based on just – you would think there'd be a little bit of time needed. So I know I've seen some in the Titans sort of media universe, just this expectation. It's like, oh, there you go, Petitfrere starting to right tackle. I don't think that's going to happen. And the thing is, I'm not even sure it happens at all. I mean, I think Chris Hubbard right now has a chance to keep the job. But we'll see. You know, over time that could change. I think right now you consider – Nicholas Petitfrere, the Titans swing tackle. That's not a bad swing tackle. And then you consider if Skaronski's ready, Dylan Radins, the swing guard. And there you go. You've got some depth.
Titans got a little bit of depth at the offensive line. It's getting stronger.
Hey, it doesn't hurt to have players available.
Do you think that there's – and I know that you're coming off a week where he just played – better and played reasonably well. So it's not going to happen Sunday, discussing Andre Dillard. But if you go throughout the season and let's say the next 2 or 3 weeks it's rough over there at left tackle, do you give Petit Frere a shot over there? I mean, he did play that in college. He was your right tackle last year, so obviously they saw him on the right side. But what do you think the chances are eventually, if Hubbard's keeping the right tackle spot, do you give Petit Frere a look at left tackle?
I think it's possible, yeah. I think if Dillard is going to struggle, then at some point you consider it, you know. And look, I don't know. Petit Frere played left tackle in college. I think he has the profile more of a right tackle in the NFL. I mean, if you really go through like college and NFL, I mean, most of the tackles who are drafted in a prominent spot played left tackle in college because it's more important. You know, obviously, unless they have a left-handed quarterback, it's a more important position.
Yep.
And a lot of them end up at right tackle. Jack Conklin was a great left tackle, college football, blocking, you know, Joey Bosa by himself. But then he's like, yeah, you're a right tackle. I think that's Petit Frere too, but maybe I'm wrong. I think that's at least an option and a possibility. And then, of course, that takes out the idea of Skoronski outside, which at some point that idea probably dies. But I don't think, you know, I think this year, as long as he's really good, and if Dillard's going to be struggling all year, I think it's going to be a constant discussion, you know, because I get it, but I think eventually it's going to be like, yeah, the guy's a guard and that's what he is.
How well do you think Chris Hubbard has played, right? I mean, that's, you know, I'm asking you to sit here and evaluate an individual offensive lineman,
right,
as a group that they've had some decent games and they've struggled at times. I mean,
I've graded every snap.
Yeah, have you? That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to see. But what have you thought of Chris Hubbard to this point?
I think pretty solid. I think, especially given the circumstances, you know, being able to pick him up and plug him in the situation they were in, he's had some blowbys, you know, this year. He's been gobbled up by some pass rush this year, but I feel like overall, not bad, not bad at all. So, I would say that he has played through four games, maybe a little bit higher level than like Petit Frere did last year as a rookie. I'd love to see the grades on that. It's two different offensive line coaches,
sure.
But I'd say it's not too different from, but so it's surprisingly good probably given, you know, where he was coming from and like his profile as a player. But I would also agree with anyone who thinks like Petit Frere would have a higher ceiling. Eventually you want to, I mean, I think if you're the Titans, you're a Titans fan, I mean, you want Petit Frere to eventually take that over. Third round pick in his second year. I mean, you want him to grow into an important piece. You need some young guys in this offensive line who can grow together, which right now would be Skoronski and Petit Frere. And I guess Raiden's at least is a depth guy. But, you know, Skoronski, Petit Frere, you want them to grow together as solid NFL starting offensive linemen. And then you need to add more.
Right.
Brewer, maybe Brewer too.
I said yesterday, like, at some point, like, you've got to figure out what Petit Frere is and if that's a piece that you can build on at right tackle moving forward. Now, having said that, Joe, I also, like, you can't just put him in for the sake of putting him in. If you feel like Hubbard gives you a better chance to win, then you got to go with Hubbard. So, I mean, maybe that's the answer as to what Petit Frere is eventually, if you feel like Hubbard's the better option there. But, I mean, they're getting ready to be in a scenario, assuming and hoping that Skoronski is back this week, where Skoronski is back in the lineup, Petit Frere is back and available, Raidens is back off the ACL, and you've got some health on your offensive line and a little bit of depth, as you talked about. So if that's the case, and let's say Skoronski's back, what's your ideal five for the lineup as they move forward here for the Titans on the line?
I think long-term, ideal. And again, ideal is keeping in mind the big picture, but well, it's Dillard, you know, Dillard, Skoronski, Brewer, Brunskill, and Petit Frere. You know, eventually you want that to be your offensive line. If the right tackle is not that, credit to Hubbard, and also be a little bit concerned about Petit Frere if he can't win that job back. But that's what you want. Because look, you want Dillard. Titans can get out of the Dillard thing, and they may have to. I mean, I think he's still the weak link. But if you could have him for 3 years at left tackle.
At that price,
that's a nice, you know, you're talking next year you might have that, you know, him at that price, quarterback, all of a sudden, very low cost. You can do a lot of things with that because you have more cap room.
go ahead.
No. But but I just don't know if that's going to be the case with Dillard. Again, you know, look around the league. I mean, I hate to use the Lions as a model for anything but misery, but the Lions drafted high and they decided to start going with offensive linemen. It's mattered.
It has.
They've got good skill guys, good quarterback, but like, look, a lot better because of what they can do up front. Go back to the Houston Oilers in the mid-80s. They just started drafting, you know, all these linemen and
worked out
pretty well. The Titans have tried. They failed. We know all this. But you want to start building something that is moving forward beyond this year can be okay. Is Brewer a part of that? I tell you what, Brewer, on a couple of those pass pro reps where he just races from center out to the left to help Dillard. I give Kaharski credit for asking about that yesterday because, yeah, like I'm sitting there like, man, that is an interesting scheme. Your center just came out and just blasted Hendrickson, who's getting past your left tackle. But Brewer the dude played tight end.
Well, he's 215 pounds, according to some people.
That's right. He's 198. 6'3", 198, so he's very fast for a center. He's an intriguing player, though. First of all, obviously, yes, Vrabel loves him. You got to like Brewer. I mean, yeah, right, like Brewer is like, he's a dog.
He is.
And I think he does a lot of good things. There are times, yes, he gets overwhelmed, but I'm kind of intrigued by him, even as like a long-term player. I really am.
I am too. What worries me if I'm a Titans fan is if you get through the end of this season, and let's say the Titans end up 8-9, 9-8, somewhere in that neighborhood, and they just miss out on the playoffs. Dillard's not very good, so you feel like you have to go a different direction at left tackle. And Petit Frere wasn't good enough to overtake Chris Hubbard at right tackle. Well, what do you do in the draft? Like, you've got a left tackle spot that you need to fill. You got a right tackle spot that you're probably not feeling great about. Maybe it's not bad enough to the point where you feel like you have to address it in the draft, but you're not feeling great about it. And, oh, by the way, I mean, they're still going to need a wide receiver. They're still going to need all these other things. And they don't have a whole lot of draft capital next year. Like, that's the worry if I'm a Titans fan, is that you get through this and you're looking at, well, need a left tackle, might need a right tackle, and, oh, by the way, you still need a wide receiver at the end of this year. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that could go in terms of the long-term part of this when it comes to the offensive line.
Yeah. Well, I think you definitely are drafting a tackle. Even if Dillard stabilizes this year and – I mean, I suppose he could be really good, and then saying like, "Wow, long term." But I don't think so. I mean, I think there's some limitations with him, even though he's very athletic and everything. So I think you're drafting a tackle, and then you kind of, you know, you kind of see how it works out. I mean, it does happen a lot in this league, also, where you think a guy's going to be one side and he ends up the other side. But yeah, I think you have to keep bringing in young offensive linemen for sure.
Or you just go spend a lot of money, one of the two. Got a lot of money in free agency you're going to have this year.
I mean, I admittedly don't know what that's looking like yet as far as, you know, the free agent crop of different positions. But they will have that opportunity. I mean, they are going to be able to be big players if they want to try to land some high-priced, you know, free agents. So the question is just, like, how does it look better, the draft or free agency? I mean, they should be able to address all that stuff. We're already moving on to the Titans draft. Let's talk. Do we have a mock draft?
You can check one out. Mock PFF. Draft. Yeah.
PFF's got one?
Sure.
Okay. Actually, I know at The Athletic, I know like Baumgartner just did another mock draft for next year. I'm like, my God, the mock drafts never go out of style.
I'm looking at the free agent tackles. Not a ton out there.
Not looking good?
Not looking great.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. You got to draft them. You got to draft well. And they haven't, because of mistakes, they have to keep doing it.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, the offensive line. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU football. Blue Raiders kicking off at 7 o'clock at home against Jacksonville State. Pre-game beginning at 5:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and in 93.3ClassicHits.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. You can check that out today and every day. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. I got a texture that says, that's why the Titans need to trade for who they can during the season for draft capital. First pick in the draft, tackle. Second pick in the draft, tackle. Third pick, the fastest receiver in the draft, which you replied, so you're punting on the season? And they say, hell yeah, what we're doing, watching the most inconsistent football team in the league. Jags, Texans, and Colts are going to be three steps ahead next year and 2 years from now. If the Titans make a wild card spot, they'll lose first game of the playoffs.
Why are you a fan of the Titans?
Like, do you not like watching them try to win?
Yeah. I mean, like, I understand. I'm not disagreeing, you know, that, like, the – well, certainly, especially the Texans and Colts, they're both getting their start. Like, this sounds like Junie. Is this Junie's burner? You know, they're getting a head start. Well, you got to start. Okay, well, Will Levis right now is not your best quarterback option. I mean, Anthony Richardson is the best quarterback on the Colts roster, and C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback on the Texans roster, and neither of those teams are expected to compete for anything this year.
So, Davis Mills.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Davis. I'm trying to think of a next joke. I couldn't do it.
Probably not.
And stick my neck out for Davis Mills. But, like, you're already, like, I mean, you know, your team just had a great performance, right? I mean, you know, they're 2-2. A lot of things are possible. A great season is possible. A bad season is possible.
Sure.
I mean, both things could happen. Like, we are in the season. Out of 365 days of a year, you have 17 days in which your football team plays football. That counts. Like, why would you not want to enjoy that and see if they can be good? I mean, it's in the NFL. I mean, you may be right. If they make a wild card spot, lose the first game, or even if they win the division, home playoff game. We know the history of that here in well, not just recent years, over the years. They have not done well at home in playoff games. But still, like, if you're a Titans fan, don't you, like, want to watch your team play and hope they're good and, you know, like, root for Derrick Henry to have a great year, et cetera, et cetera? I don't know. I don't understand this immediate just especially this week. I mean, last week it was doom and gloom, and I got it. It was an awful, awful performance, and you're wondering. I was too. Like, what are these guys? I'm still wondering what they are. But isn't that kind of the fun?
Also, they're 2-2. They're not 0-4.
Right.
Like, you know,
well, they just played a great football game.
Right.
Against a team that has its own struggles going on right now and everything, but still, they played a great football game.
Liam on the text line says Eddie needs to sit down with Dillard to get him play tougher.
There
just bring
you
the
go.
Eddie George route back in there. It worked with Derek. It'll work with Andre Dillard.
Just post Eddie up in the locker room. Just sick him Eddie, on whoever.
We need you again. Yeah. Get in here.
Whoever needs a little pick-me-up, yeah.
Lance on the text line says, try Petit Frere at left tackle, where he played his entire senior year. We've had a lot of that on the text line the last couple weeks.
I mean, I just said it. Like, most tackles who are drafted in the first three rounds of the NFL draft played left tackle in college. Not all. But, like, Skoronski, yeah, he's their best lineman, playing left tackle. Jack Conklin, he's their best lineman, playing left tackle, et cetera, et cetera. And then a lot of them go to different spots. Maybe Petit Frere is – ultimately a good answer at left tackle. You know, last year he needed to get a lot better. He had some good and bad ups and downs. I think an overall fine year as a rookie at right tackle. Maybe, you know, left tackle is much more comfortable for him, and he's better there. I mean, Dylan Radin's also played left tackle, you know, in college, and he struggled at right tackle, and he was always, I mean, of course, he had the famous quote to me with my fantastic question about how it's like wiping with the other hand when you switch sides.
It is.
So they kind of looked
like shot.
It looked like that at times, you know. So yeah, I mean, I think that's possible with Petit Frere. And I think certainly that if Dillard struggles, then at some point they look for something different. But right now, I mean, if they weren't going to switch after the Cleveland game, which again, it's Myles Garrett, and I think it's more on them for even letting him be in that situation. But if they're not going to switch after that, then they're not going to switch now.
No, they're certainly not going to switch now. And I do wonder, now that you're on the verge, we think, of everybody being healthy and back, Like, once you get Skoronski back in there, we'll see what they do with Petit Frere. But is how much upward mobility is there for this line? And we talked about the 2019 line all the time. I don't think there's that level of upward mobility for this line. I mean, I just think the talent level is not there when it comes to what we talked about with that line. But, you know, Sunday's game, they weren't perfect, but they weren't a problem in that game. Like, that's to me what – if you can consistently get your offensive line to not be the problem for you offensively, that's the goal to me at the end of the year, right? Like, you want better than that, certainly. I don't know how much better than that is realistic for this line. So, if how much better can the line get? And is there a point this year with the five that you go with, whoever that is, where by the season's end, when it's coming down to crunch time and this division's coming down to the final few weeks, which I think it will, can the line be serviceable enough where it's just not a total problem for you week in, week out?
Yeah. Based on last week, I would say I think there's a chance for that. You know, it does all have to go together. It has to go together with game plan and scheme. Again, Tim Kelly looked at the film and said, Aaron Brewer – sprint out way to the left, and it worked. He got a perfect chip in. They doubled Hendrickson. I don't remember what exactly happened on that play, but I think it was a – that might have been – was that the completion to NWI in the middle of the field? I don't remember, but it was a successful play. You know, it's all got to work together with this, and last week it did, and the week before it didn't. But, yeah, I mean, I think that you got some depth – It's depth of a lot of guys that you're still, like, trying to figure out what they are. But there's been some good play, even from Raiden's here. I think there's been some good, some bad. But it's not terrible. I mean, I think Raiden's right now would have to qualify as a pleasant surprise for this team. So I think it's possible. I also think that that has to do with five guys consistently being together, right? And that's kind of the question, too, is at what point is it important to have your five figured out and move forward, knowing that, of course, people are going to get hurt because it always happens.
By the way, quick point of clarification just to throw out there that we got some people texting about the draft next year, about how the Titans don't have picks in the first three rounds. They have the first-round pick and their second-round pick. They don't have their third-round pick. There are three rounds in which the Titans do not currently have picks for next year, but it is not the first three rounds of the draft where they don't have picks. They do have first and second-round picks available to them.
Yeah. I mean, they're low on picks.
They are.
You know, for sure. So,
but they're not, like, without picks until the fourth round, yeah. I guess is what I'm saying.
Who said that so I can make fun of them?
We've had a couple of those.
Okay. All right. Well, see, I'm glad we could help.
Just point of clarification.
Yeah. This is random, but did you see anything about this from LD? Says, Jared said Simmons intentionally grabbed Burrow's calf and was a dirty player. You see anything about
that? I
didn't see anything about this. I just searched it. There is some Bengals fan site that says something about Simmons trying to hit his calf, but that's all I've got. So I guess hashtag Jared's film room is going a little deeper.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Seeing there, like, you know, the Ravens in the 08 playoff game, just like twisting Chris Johnson's ankle at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah. I mean, I hate that.
Is that what Jeffrey
crap.
Simmons is doing?
I hope not. I absolutely hate that crap, you know? It's like last night, the hit on Geno. Didn't like it. Did not like it. Like, I didn't think that the hit on Chubb was that. I thought that was bang, bang, and it was awful, but I didn't think that at all. But stuff like that, there's no place for that.
No. I don't know that I've ever thought of Jeffrey Simmons as a dirty player. I think he plays on the edge, which I like.
And he talks a lot.
Talks a lot.
Some people have said he spits at times.
Maybe so. And, look, he's not afraid of a nice personal foul penalty every now and then either, which we saw again on Sunday. And then Brable had to go over and calm him down.
But I really hope he didn't actually try to, like, mess with Burrow's calf. That would be so weak.
Yeah, that would not be good. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll talk a little college football with her. Another tough week for Caroline. Her beloved LSU Tigers go down to Ole Miss. A lot of interesting field storming video in that one, by the way. Got people jumping off the goalpost, doing front flips, landing flat on their back on the field.
That's
an interesting time.
Yeah. Caroline's got people fired on the tarmac.
I saw that. We'll get into that and more. Get into the Vols and Vanderbilt with her as well. Coming up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.